All right, we are here. Welcome, welcome. This evening we speak about something that is for most every human being perhaps the second most difficult experience that they have in their life. That's hurt, shock, trauma, and pain. The first we spoke about last time. It's a shame. When we spoke about shame, we mentioned that it is the illusion of separateness from the divine. It is essential in this experience of separateness to experience your self-realization. It's something you chose to do, to come onto the planet to do. Inherent in this separation as well is pain and suffering. That is why you hear so much of, for example, Indian spirituality. They talk about all life is suffering. Well, the suffering part of life, the part that's hard, the part that's difficult, the part that holds the pain, is the part that's connected, that keeps you connected to that feeling, that illusion, that sense of separateness. The original sense of separation occurred when you came into physical form, and at some point you realized that you were powerless, you were helpless, and that it was demanded of you that you let go of your connection to the divine within you. Now, some children retain it very, very rarely, but some retain it as old as 5 or 6 years of age, but it's unusual. Most have lost it by 2, that connection, that sense of separation. So at the age of 2, roughly, the terrible 2s, a child is in a terrible fear of abandonment. Abandonment becomes very critical. Physical instinct, which comes with your genetics, comes with your body, is to live. You don't want to go. Especially when you're a child, you want to have it just beautiful and wonderful the way it was before you were physical. But then you find out that you must obey your parents. You must learn their worldview, their perceptions, their way of being. And as you do that, as you take that on, as you adopt their beliefs, their orientations, their judgments, their ideas, their thinking and feeling, you take it on for size, try it on, that you don't have any other template, you lose your connection. You feel that sense of separation. Because your parents feel separate, you feel separate. And everyone you come into contact with pretty much is separate. So where does the pain turn into shock, hurt, trauma? Well, life is about growing, moving forward always. You always want to move forward. You never just stay at any one level. You're never static. You either move forward or you fall back. You fall back to circle back through old feelings and old patterns of behavior. And then you move forward where you expand, where your energy field expands, where you feel more, where you feel like you're gaining ground, where you feel like you're getting somewhere. You're learning, you're growing, you're becoming more than you have been. You feel more empowered, more capable, more free. And then there are times when there is a switch. There is an impact. An event happens. And the impact of this event on you throws you back, throws you into fear, throws you into a panic, or hurts you, damages you. It can be very abrupt, and generally in the moment, in the very moment, that you hit the wall, the obstacle, or the event happens that stops you from your forward movement. That impact can be very shocking. It's sudden. And often it is totally unexpected. It is a surprise. You're moving forward faster and faster. Yay, 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 bang. You know, if you're in a car and you're driving down the road at 50 miles an hour and you run into a wall, it's pretty damn damaging. It's far worse than if you run into the wall at 20 miles an hour. But not as bad as if you go into the wall at 90. You probably won't survive at 90. You will probably survive at 20, but maybe have a whiplash. The thing is that the rate of your forward movement, when you hit this point, this event, this wall, this obstacle, that which stops you, the faster you're moving forward, the harder it is to hit it, the more impact it has. For example, if you're having a relationship and you're developing a relationship and you're falling in love with someone and you're finally becoming vulnerable, letting go, opening up, this is moving very quickly. This is moving into greater and expanded self. This is forward momentum. And then the person that you're with turns around and says, I think we should start seeing other people. Or they turn their back on you, or they run away. Or the next thing you know, they're out with somebody else and they haven't told you a thing. The impact of that moment when you have opened up everything is shocking. It's painful. You may be angry right away, but then it moves into hurt. Hurt is when you feel diminished through that impact. Now, people can hurt you if you allow them. They can hurt you. That's part of the mark of a very intimate relationship, is that the other person has the power to really hurt you. You have the power to hurt that other person. But in a relationship based on love, you're hoping that this will not happen. You don't intend to hurt each other. If you're angry and want to punish the other person, manipulate them, you may hurt them. You may diminish them. You may tell them how inadequate they are, how worthless, in not in those words, but so in tone of voice, attitude of the head and posture, and yes, also with the words. That can have a devastating impact. So the impact is where shock occurs. Because there is a moment of disbelief, of a suspended state of awareness where you're not really sure. Did I really get that piece of information? Did I really hear that? Did I really see that? Did I really hit the wall there? Did this person really reject me? What? Can it be? What? Now, in a physical shock situation, such as a car accident, the people are in shock because they've been jarred so much that there's no continuity. Their continuity has been broken, and they're disoriented. And it's also a mechanism because by nature, because you can already be damaged. And so, in a sense, shock gives you, actually, time to respond, to do something, to reorient yourself. And it is actually, in a way, a helpful thing most of the time. Although if you're in sub-zero weather and you go into shock, that's not very good sign. You may not be able to maintain your body heat. Sometimes you go very cold in shock. All the systems kind of shut down. A kind of protective and defensive mechanism by the body. Shock can have a physical impact, but what we want to discuss is more the emotional, sometimes spiritual, impact of shock. Because you see, when you have spiritually emotional shock, it resets you. You have to realign and reorient your life. It's not necessarily an easy thing to do. Some of you never recover very well from these shocks, physical, emotional, spiritual. A spiritual shock being that the path that you're on ends. When you find somehow suddenly that your teacher has really screwed you over really well, taken all your money, run off with it. When you've been absolutely let down and realize you've got to go another way. When you realize, for example, like the young woman who fancied that she was going to be a ballet dancer and she trained and trained and trained. But by the age of about 13, it became apparent that she was suffering from scoliosis. And it got so bad that by the age of 14, perhaps it was 15, she had to have surgery because she couldn't walk straight. Have surgery where she had a fused vertebra in her spine, and her dancing career, dancing possibilities were over. She had to take another track, another path. That's a spiritual shock. It's where you change life direction. It's a disorientation. It takes a while to reset yourself, reorient yourself. Sometimes people don't recover very well from this. If you have too many shocks and traumas, or other shocks, impacts and shocks in your adolescence and childhood, it can set you up for emotional extremes, highs and lows, or sometimes a kind of a manic or passive shifts back and forth, up and down, manic, depressive, bipolar, tremendous shifts when the shock is really great. And there's several of them, and you haven't had time to recover from one when another one comes along. And double disorientation, triple disorientation. After a while, your energy feels like a yo-yo. If your psychologists, if your social service people knew how to handle shock and the traumas, emotional traumas that can come with it, as well as physical traumas, there would be a lot more success. People could recover so much more quickly. Now, trauma is the impact over time in your patterns of your life, in your living of your life, where the incident of the impact is felt over and over and over again. It's like it keeps reminding you of that impact, reminding you of the blockage, reminding you of the pain that you experienced at that time of impact, at that event, in that circumstance, in that moment. Now, trauma can come from abuse. If you have, if you grew up with an abusive parent, then you had to hide, you had to tiptoe around, you had to try to please, you tried your best to avoid getting hit, getting whammied, getting manipulated, getting hurt. getting diminished. But if it was not possible, you may carry that damage, that trauma, with you into your life. And you, if you've done any kind of personal growth work where you go back into your childhood and process stuff that happened years ago, or adolescence, or just anything that happened years ago, you'll notice that the impact of that has remained in the way you live your life, to the limitations within which you remain. So the purpose of healing, healing the trauma, healing the shock, is to free you from those limitations so they don't get embedded in your personal story. You all have a personal story you tell about yourself, about your life. And the reason I'm like this is because in fourth grade my mother did this, or my father turned his back on me when I was 13. And because of that, I have felt ashamed ever since. I felt inadequate, lack of value ever since. That's hurt. You've been diminished by the event. You feel less after the event. And the trauma is that it gets down into your subconscious mind in the telling of your story, in the telling of your tale. So if you have experienced traumatic incidents in your life, painful circumstances, shocking impacts, you might want to look at the stories that you tell about it, how it reinforces your life today. And whenever those stories come up that you go to so easily, maybe pause and think, do I want this to remain in my storybook, in my story profile, in my plot design of my life? And if you're willing to release it from your storyline, we'd recommend that you listen to the evening that we did on your new story and recreate for yourself a story that works for you. But what we wish to work with you now about is on how exactly to release the long-term impact or the trauma of an event, to deal with the hurt so that the hurt doesn't make you shy away from opening up to life. Because if you feel bad about yourself and you take what someone else has said or implied about you as true, and it's not very expansive, it's limiting for you, then you have been hurt. And some of you carry these hurts with you. Some of you carry these hurts from relationship to relationship, hoping that this next relationship you will do it right. You will please your mate. You will behave correctly. That they will be nice to you this time. But if you hold that hurt within you, invariably your reality working with you to show you where you have yet to take your power, where you still need to heal yourself, will bring up circumstances where you once again get hurt. That's a pattern type of thing. If you break a pattern, you have freedom. You have freedom to create a new story, freedom to create a new pattern. The channel and Daniel knew a woman in Miami when they lived there who was always creating positive success stories for herself. But the problem with it is that she didn't feel good enough just telling herself the story. She had to tell everybody else her stories of how smart and clever she was. how she resolved everything powerfully, successfully, wonderfully, magically. Everything was done because she was so powerful and strong and wise and smart. And while that did a lot for her, when she came down with cancer, she beat it really well. She knew how to fight. When it came to relationships, she did not go and heal that hurt that was underneath somewhere, that all this talk was a cover for. She would attract people who would abandon her. Friends that wouldn't stick with her. And indeed, it was difficult to be around her for long stretches of time because, frankly, she could not carry on a conversation with anyone without telling one of her stories. And then she would tell her story of how great she was, and then she would smile and wait for people to congratulate her. And people like were saying, wait a minute, you know, she took this conversation we were having and turned it into a story about herself, went off on this tangent. Now, where do we go from here? We lost our conversation that we had, our thread of conversation, and there's no thread here. The conversation's ended. So every time she'd finish her story, she would smile brightly, and everybody'd be staring at her in silence. She never got the approval she was looking for. So eventually, later on, she'd go back down into that place where she'd be vulnerable to hurt. And she'd build herself up with another story. Some of these were quite made up. And they worked for her, in a sense, to get her feeling strong again so she could go out and face another relationship or another party or another situation. So if you're going to get rid of it, really get rid of it. Okay? Don't go into compensation patterns. They'd never work long term. They make you feel okay in the moment, but essentially you're running away from something. Indeed, the pain can be very great. The pain of shame is the worst. The second greatest pain is hurt. The diminishment, which is someone else shaming you and you accepting it. Now, of course, at the age that you are now, you're adults. You don't have to accept any of that anymore. But of course, when you were a child or an adolescent, you didn't know how to refuse that because you didn't have any other image of yourself. And so that's where the foundation for shock, trauma, hurt, and pain were set up for you. Hurt, like any emotional state, can be fairly easily and quickly resolved if you will stay conscious with it, if you will sit with your hurt, feel it, be with it. Now, there's a temptation when you go into hurt, feeling your hurt and recalling the pain of your hurt and the diminishment that was given to you from someone under certain circumstances. Perhaps a humiliation that someone else made of you. They hurt you. It was damaging. It was traumatic. But if you sit with the hurt and just feel it for 5 minutes, sometimes you don't even need to feel it for that long. Maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes at most. And really feel it. Not analyze it, okay? That's not feeling it. So many people think, oh, I've got to be a spiritual person. You know, I've got to analyze this and figure it all out. But of course, actually, as soon as you go into analysis, you go into thinking and you go into intellect, and you've separated yourself from the hurt and you no longer are connected to it. It's a really sneaky way to get out of feeling it and giving yourself a nice ego pat on the back. Look, I'm really working at myself right here. I'm fixing myself. Another way of dealing with hurt for some people to escape it is to go into self-pity and cry their crocodile tears. Oh, they did me so wrong. They're so bad and they hurt me so bad. Oh, poor me, poor me. I always seem to attract these nasty people that seem to do it. And going into drama. Oh, the drama of it all. Oh, they're so intense, and it's their ego, and they just devastate everybody, and they came and they just devastated me. And here I am lying on the floor in pain, and they don't care. They don't care. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. I'm so miserable. When you go into that, are you feeling your hurt anymore? No. You're doing poor me. You're playing victim. And guess what? On a really kind of distorted, twisted way, the poor me is playing arrogant and superior. See, I am the innocent, right? Is ever a poor me the perpetrator? No, you're never a perp. You're always a victim. You know, people come to us sometimes and they want to hear about their other lifetimes. Right? I want to hear about a lifetime when I was a king or a great scholar or a dashing prince and champion and spiritual guru and noble. I want to be so noble and beautiful or innocent or wise or... They don't want to hear about when they were a priest that got, very jealous and chopped the head off of another priest. They don't want to know that they were that person. Oh, no, I would never do that. I'm innocent. I'm good. I'm okay. And that's just what this gal in Miami would do. Gloss over it. I only want to know, when I was the victim. I want to know my victim lifetimes. Oh, we have an issue? Okay, I want to know the lifetime that's about that issue, where I was victimized. I want to know about that. Is this mate that I have in this lifetime, is this the same one that victimized me in another life? I need to know that. We have to point out, that has no significance whatsoever. Who did what to you when? It's just, you're just adding it up to your list of nobility marks. You know, you've got a whole list on your wall. You know, I'm superior because I was the victim of this mean person. The innocent one is superior indeed. So don't let yourself get trapped by that. To heal fear, to heal any emotion, fear, anger, hurt, you must sit with it and feel and let it speak to you. Let it tell you what it really felt like. Then you know. And then you can make a new choice of how you wish to respond. But until you really feel a feeling, you don't have the power to lift out of it. It traps you, therefore. You end up holding on to your anger, holding on to your fear, worrying, holding on to your hurts. And over time, this does tremendous trauma, slow motion trauma to your body. It's called stress. So hurt can be healed, simply speaking, by loving yourself enough to sit with the hurt for a few minutes and just be with it. Not running away, just being with it. Because you see, if you run away, you're abandoning yourself, you're separating again, you're going to continue the cycle of suffering and pain. But when you sit with it, you come to a sense of peace. And then we would suggest, after you've sat with it, to do something positive for yourself, something you enjoy, to give you a little, yourself a little joyous nurturing, a shift of energy, a shift of focus and attention. If you love to lie back in a big old chair and read a book into the night, if that's your thing, then after you sit with your hurt and let your body get it, because it's in your body, and let your body release it. Your body will release it. The shock will go too. You may even feel that you get shakes. That's shock coming out of your body when you shake. When you suddenly feel these ripples of electricity going down your arms or legs or whatever, you just have to twitch. You're releasing old shock and trauma. When you end the separation between part of you and the other part of you, the duplicity within you, the duality within you, and unify yourself to go to the oneness of you, to be present and loving with all your feelings, all your states, you achieve a certain personal oneness. And while you may still feel that there is a division somewhere between you and the divine, which is part of the illusion that you chose to play with, you will not be suffering. It will not be that terrible. But you all have within you a seed of your true self, a link, a connection to your divine nature. And it will continuously call you back home to the oneness, to the divine that you are. You don't have to stay in the pain. Now, if you have physical pain, there's several reasons for that. Several causative factors, you might say, if there's such a thing as cause and effect truly. And generally, chronic physical pain comes with a twisted and distorted self story. That if you change the story, the pain begins to lift, your body begins to heal. If you sit with pain, if you are in physical pain, or as well as emotional pain, sit with it, be fully present with it, go into it, and be one with it. And then you do not abandon yourself anymore. In that, even if it's physical pain, if you do not escape it or try to run away, you will find a strange sort of peace. You'll find an intimacy with yourself. Every one of you has been wounded spiritually, emotionally. It's part of growing up. For most of you, it happens in high school. But it can happen perhaps in junior high, as early as junior high, as late as college. But in this wounding, you really feel deeply the separation. It hurts. And you feel separate from yourself or from the greater you. You feel stuck, lost, shrunken into a smaller you. That is pain. If you go there, you can heal it. And all the patterns of pain that have come into your life since can begin to heal. Your body wants to heal hurt. It has a mechanism for healing. And just as your body will heal the physical pain, your emotional body has a mechanism to heal emotional pain. And the way that you do that is simply by being with it. You can be with physical pain or emotional pain, and if you sit with it and feel the pain and feel the hurt, the self-diminishment that underlies it, and just sit with it, you can tell your body, listen, body, this is hurt. You have my permission to start healing it now. We can let it go. We are present with it. Activate your healing power. You see, all of you have an inner healer, emotional as well as physical. Let it be activated. Your body will then get, oh, hurt. This is hurt. You don't want this. Okay. I'll kick in. It can kick in its immune system, or it can kick in its endorphins, or it can kick in hormones, steroid hormones, which do incredible healing, rapid healing. Your body can heal. Emotional hurt can also be felt in the body. And it can hurt your physical body. So when you feel the emotional hurt, as well as the physical pain, also your body can begin to take care of it. It can take care of the part that you feel in your body. But you, emotionally, will need to transmute it. Now recognize that when you have shock, it goes into your body, generally the choice that you have under great trauma and stress is what is commonly called the fight or flight mechanism. The adrenal hormones and the pituitary and the hypothalamus activate adrenaline for you to run, for you to move away from the source of the pain, from the source of the impact. It is adrenal hormones that can trigger, and the pituitary that can trigger your brain to produce immense endorphins, which are natural painkillers in your body. These are generated like in accidents, in automobile accidents. People will be dazed, in shock. They're not feeling pain. The pain comes later. There's a delay to give them a chance to run or to defend themselves or do whatever they need to do, primarily speaking, for survival. In nature, there are three responses. There's a fight, the flight, and the freeze. You know the freeze when you see like a baby doe, a little deer, a little Bambi, you know? So still, just motionless, sitting in dappled forest light, absolutely motionless. That is the best defense for the small animal, because the predators are keyed by movement. If the prey is absolutely motionless, and the predator walks by and says, oh, look, you know, a deer, a little fawn or a doe or something, you know, beautiful. If it's not moving, it doesn't trigger their chase, their predatory instinct. They may just go up and sniff it and walk on. The problem is though, of course, fear triggers it. Tremendous shock and fear. Oh my gosh, there's a predator around. The body goes into that kind of shock state. It goes into a sense of, what do you call it? Your consciousness becomes very muted, very subdued. It's like you turn off most of your circuitry. Now, the reason we're spending some time with this is because many of you did a freeze as your response to a trauma. And somewhere in your psyche, physically, emotionally, even mentally, you may still be shut down. But not all of it really works that well. And when that happens, your digestive system very often has difficulty. Your hormonal system can have difficulty. Your breathing gets very shallow to almost nothing. It's like you go into hibernation. Now, energetically, if you do the freeze response, this can mean that your, what you call it, the parasympathetic nervous system, the one that's supposed to calm you, is overdone. Sometimes there's an overreaction to stress, which is a sympathetic nervous system, the hyper. You go and overdo the parasympathetic until you have a situation which we call putting one foot on the brake and one foot on the gas pedal at the same time. You're revving your nervous system forward. Go, 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 go. Come on, run, run. On, let's escape this. Let's escape this. Let's next, next, next. At the same time, you're saying, shut down. Freeze. When this happens, your physical and emotional energies get rather tangled. And coming out of that kind of choice comes all sorts of distorted life patterns. That's where you're, in whatever area of life you have that or have experienced that, whether it's in love and romance and relationships, whether it's in financial situations and business failures, whether it's in intellectual thought, spiritual things, meditation, personal growth, and those kinds of things, whether it's in health, that becomes your commission of challenge. And the commission of challenge is your favorite place where you have problems. And everybody has their favorite place. And you hold this place as your way of forcing yourself to do your personal development and personal growth work, because your reality will continuously bring you the circumstances in different ways similar to the ones that triggered it, so that you can work it out, so you can respond differently, so you can make new choices. At the end of this evening, we're going to take you through a cleansing, a purification, a freeing, and a healing for your shocks, your traumas, your hurts, and your pain. So between now and then, think about what it is that is your commission of challenge. Where do you get hurt over and over again? Where do you get slammed down? What have you done? Do you just dance harder and faster, i.e. run? Do you fight, get belligerent, defensive, try to control? Or do you freeze, just shut down, run and hide, just hide away, become invisible, never get noticed? What is your favorite way, your old way of responding to your traumas? Let's let that go too, shall we? All right. So what we'd like to do now is open it up to questions. Now, the questions don't have to be on this topic, on any topic of interest to you, but raise your hand if you wish to ask a question, and Daniel has the mic, and he can bring the mic to you.
Thank you, Galaxis. I have a weird situation. I attract negative a lot. Like, people harass me and call me bitch, fuck you. And today again, I was going to the currency exchange to cash a check, and when I came out, there were people also at the currency exchange. They left to go to their car, and then I was done. I go to my car, and the woman says, "Oh, bitch, like this," and I don't know why. I really do attract that a lot, and I'm trying to stay as positive as I can, but there's always something like this that brings me down. What is it?
All right. Well, you see, as we were talking about it, we suggested that if you don't deal with it, if you don't come out of your shock, your trauma, your pain, that it gets embedded into pattern and you keep calling your reality to send you these instances so you can make new choices as to your responses and the way you handle your life. So what you might have done, you might have frozen.
Yes, I freeze all the time.
Yeah. Okay. And so when you do that, the things that are going to try and jolt you out of it to get you, hey, wake up, you know, respond. It has to be pretty tough sometimes. But that's your reality sending that to you to say, hey, don't go into your freeze response anymore. You see, it's not working for you. So it's the suggestion is that the universe is bringing you, say, here, you know, what if you responded very differently? It brings you down. Yeah, because you're pattern of response is that when somebody is upset at you, calls you a name, or is mean to you, you shrink. You shrink small. And you feel scared because, hey, if you were going to go back and say, hey, you bitch, back at you, you know, you're terrified. What in the heck would she do? Would you be able to have your wits about you and know what to say and what to how to respond? You don't think so. You feel insecure about it because your strategy has been to shut down, which means you hide. So you get picked on so that you can stop hiding, so you can learn how to stop hiding. It's one of the things that you came to do in your life is that you wanted to become visible. You understand?
Yes.
All right. So what you want to do here is to recognize that there's two ways of being visible. One is to be visible and be attacked, humiliated, pointed out, have tomatoes thrown at you, right? That's one kind of visibility. The other visibility is for you to radiate your light, your love, your truth, and for it to be a beacon for others. That's another kind of visibility. It can be also that visibility, that second one, shows up when you're successful in your chosen endeavors. So you have two choices of visibility. So when somebody says, hey, yo, bitch, hey, you know, I'm visible. I'm being seen. So who are you going to be? The shrinking one? The one who's angry and the victim? Oh, my, I'm the victim. I'm so, oh, they just pick on me, poor me. Or are you going to be the visible one that shines the light? And you turn to them and say something totally unexpected and say, have a great day. And smile. Do you think that she would have expected that kind of thing? She was picking on you because she knew you were a shrinker. You understand?
Yes.
All right. She said, oh, good, we can pick on this one because she can't fight back. Look how scared she is. We got her scared. They see it in your eyes, in your posture. I'm shrinking. I don't feel comfortable. You probably didn't even feel comfortable at the currency exchange just being there. You know, but you may not have paid conscious awareness of it. You see what we're talking about?
Yes.
All right. So you're attracting it so that you have the opportunity to be greater.
What if I show the finger?
Well, what would you think that she would do if you gave her the bird?
She might shut up and leave me alone, right?
Right? Well, in the moment, if you were present and not already shutting down or running away or making assumptions about her, you might actually be able to perceive where she's coming from and what she might be, you know, doing, what she might do.
I felt violence.
Right. Right. If you give her the bird, that's an invitation. That's an invitation for attack. That's an insult. Well, what it means to her is that, hey, you took it personally. Good. You're playing the game. You're in on the game now. And all's fair in love and war. You see, she could do anything. She's acting confident, isn't she? See, you're the one that's not confident. You understand what we're saying?
Very well.
All right. So your response, if your response is this, just shooting her the bird, it says, well, up yours. You know, I'm angry at you and I take it personally and you're just one nasty person. That's all that is implied, right? Mm-hmm. But what if? You know, that's fighting, okay? And if you know how to fight, then do it if you want to. But the best choice, perhaps, for you is not fight, flight, or freeze, but be. Perceive. Stay present. Feel. Don't let yourself run away into one of those three options. Don't let yourself compensate. Don't let yourself freak out. Don't take it personally. It's all an illusion. Just be right there in the moment. Mm-hmm. And just be with it. And just you might just kind of look at her blankly. That's interesting. Oh.
Thank you very much.
All right. But you see, the people who are self-realized don't take any of that stuff personally. And they're so in the present, and they so have their wits about them and their perceptions in the present, that they, in a sense, know where these people are coming from. That person's coming from shame. She wants to compensate for feeling like a total idiot, nincompoop in some other area of her life. So let's go pick on this innocent-looking, sweet little gal here that's going to shrink and get all nervous and scared. And I'm going to feel strong and powerful when I do that, she thinks. See, if you can read a person like that, you know right away where they're coming from, and it's all, and you know whether they're bluffing or whether they really can fight. Do you see what we're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Right. But if you're present, you can be anybody. You don't have to follow your old pattern. You can make any kind of choice you want. And so the people who are self-realized can really flip people out because they just can do the oddest things that no one would ever expect. You know, it's totally wild. They could come back and be a whole different personality. And that other person would go, what? And be so disoriented that they'd turn around and run away. They get freaked out. You know, it's just, you know, if you're in your power, there's nothing that they're going to do. It's all illusion. It's all giving you feedback, you see. Mm-hmm. So it's your choice how you want to respond. But being present and feeling is the best way, we would suggest, to come to be at a point where you can make that decision.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very good question. Thank you very much.
Alexis, hi there.
Hello.
It's been a very interesting few months, car accident in November, and then now I'm working on recovering from pneumonia. And so, you know, I'm usually a pretty healthy person.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've come to realize is I think I have a very strong ego that tries to sabotage me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to, you know, keep a strong awareness of that right now. And do you have any suggestions for me to work on so I can heal this sabotage? And I'm not having any flow right now, financial flow, too. So that's been awkward, to say the very least, because everybody wants their money.
Of course, yes.
Yeah. So do you have suggestions for these situations
right
here?
All right. Well, we have to say, you know, as just we said before in the previous question, is that the universe is going to keep giving you input on your commission of challenge,
mm-hmm,
until you come to a different response pattern. And in a sense, what you did in November with the car accident was that was a shock.
Yes.
You gave yourself a shock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it did not kill you. It did not do any like long-term serious damage. But what it did do, it gave you a shock and gave you the opportunity to shift out in that period just after it, an opportunity to shift out of your old self-image into a new one. Very often, that's what car accidents do. It's really amazing. They say, bang, okay, new image. And so you've been on a journey since then, specifically on recreating your image and your story. And we'd recommend that you listen to the Love and Healing Evening on your new story, because then you'll be able to do whatever the make it way your way through that portal, through that change out of the old habit. The old habit pattern is that what you learned as your MO was that if you just impress the heck out of everybody, then being impressed, that'll give you lots of credibility, that'll give you lots of admiration from people, and they will follow you. Now, that came in about, for you, it came in, it was, well, you know, we've talked with you before, and you've had all this time being talking about how you were a fighter, right?
Yeah.
That was your response, is fight, right? This was a translation of the fighter into a socially more interesting pattern. It was that, okay, instead of being the fighter and have to be the bully or something like that, I'm going to just shift into being really above that. I'm going to be really... I'm going to be so cool, I'm going to be so important, I'm going to be so valuable, and people are just going to look up to me, and I'm going to be just, people will want to be me. And that's going to be my new MO. Now, it worked for a while, too. It works beautifully for a while. But the thing is that you came to a place to where your self-image and this pattern no longer functioned well with it. Your self-image as a spiritual person was growing, and you have made, over the past year, many forays past your old self.